Jesus. You give us one, I guess. You ever been in a situation and, you know, circumstance and stuff, and you're not sure if it's going to work out and all that, and you go to the Lord and you carry it to the Lord, talk to the Lord about it, and you're just waiting on Him to give you a breakthrough, answer, direction? And all. That's kind of the way it is preaching. You know, you get before the Lord, and I used to battle with it, you know, close to time to preach or whatever, and He hadn't give you anything, and man, you're thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? What am I going to... See, we do that, but you know what? He's always faithful to them that trust Him, no matter what. He always shows up. Now, I'm not just talking about preaching, but if you call to preach, you will learn to be led. You know, if you want the anointing, if you want the presence of the Lord. See, there's nothing more precious in mine and your life than His presence. He's in our hearts, right? In our life. There's nothing more precious than to know that He's with us all the time. There's nothing more precious. And we learn this stuff out of the Word of God. That's why Satan does not want you to know what God's Word says about you and your life and your situations. He does not want you to get in there and be a student of the Word of God. You know, He don't want you to renew your mind. I'm telling you, I tear that devil up going and coming all the time. I tell him all the time, go ahead and try me. Go ahead and throw a fiery dart. Go ahead. Because one thing that I've learned, Johnny, is that trials develop me. I have learned, I used to dread trials at home, dread trials. God's door. Nobody really likes, I'm not going to say I enjoy trials, but there's one thing I do, I count it all joy when I enter into a trial knowing that this trial is working endurance in me. That this trial is giving me opportunity to use my faith. When I'm believing God for something, and then when it gets here, it's like, oh man. You kind of wish it didn't come. Because now the joy of going, believing God to do something is over. So you find something else. And then you live a life of expectancy. See, we're to live a life of faith. We're not to live where when we hit a trial, we wish we had faith. No, we take the Word of God, and as we're renewing our mind to the Word of God, we begin to see how God thinks. You hear me? I mean, God does not think defeat. He can't think that. He just cannot. You know, and when we renew our mind, see, the Bible says in Romans, and I can understand it, that mine and your mind is an enemy to God, enmity. I mean, it's an enemy. I mean, it had us running from God for years, Matt. I mean, it had us going after success, going after the world, living our own life, living our own. See, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, for us be not conform to the world, this age. It's the world don't acknowledge God. The world don't respect God. They don't honor God. They don't think about God. They don't turn to God. They don't acknowledge God. You know, and He tells us, be not conformed to that way. You know, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, our mind carried us without God for a long time. Told us whatever it told us, you know, Christianity. I thought men were weak when they went to Jesus because they got a love and they can't do all the fun. One thing that led Teresa to Jesus is a bunch of teenagers on TV playing volleyball, having fun, and then started to talk about Jesus. See, they were doing what she was looking for. Fun. Just to have fun. You know, and And so when you got the presence of the Lord, you can enjoy. It's not fun. You can enjoy turning a digit over after the effects of it. Trial. He turned a mini X over. Samantha's wonder she didn't do it before then, jerking around, trying to dig roots up. It'll just flip you over that wheel. It's just a little old bitty machine. You know, no matter what, and I'm sure Johnny had the opportunity. Man, Scotty won't never, he won't never, blah, 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 you know, all of that stuff. You know, and then he comes later, and he asked me, I went and picked it up, and he said, when he called me, and he said, you want the good news or the bad news? And I said, it don't matter, man, just, I'm used to news. You know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But no matter what he says, God said he'll deliver me if I trust him, according to the scripture, out of them all. That didn't faze me at all. I could throw it on the back of the dump truck and haul it off for scrap and get my money and be happy. Right? It's a piece of machine. Well, anyways, he's telling me, and I said, oh, that's all right. I said, I turned it over too. I was just glad Teresa wasn't on the back porch. I flipped her right over and went, got a tractor and got it out by myself. I said, ah, it's all right. It ain't no big deal. You know, see, I could have thought that's the way it is when you loan people stuff. It's the way the world thinks. See, it gets to them, see. They don't think like the Lord. The Lord can give me one way better than that one if I want one. Nice one, bigger one, you know, if I want it. That's the way God thinks. God don't think like this world thinks. See, I don't think I've got to work 120 hours to be wealthy when I get old. Amen. I believe Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not. My mind is renewed to that. Now I don't think anything about the my garage door business other than he is my shepherd and I shall not want. He's involved in it. And I've told the Lord for years, Lord, give me less work, big jobs, less work, more money. Now, Travis, I believe he was believing God not to go to work this week. It's 95 degrees, man. But you know what? We've kind of been slack, you know, and I give my other guy, I said, hey, man, come in Monday if you want to. He never shows up. You want me to let you know? I said, no, I'll know if you're here at 7, and if you're not, well, then I will take it, that's it. You know, he ain't been out of the house. Well, I get out, you know, and I can go in the house, but I don't. I get out there in the sun. Get me a little shade, stay out there in the heat, you know, and all of that. Then my little pumpkins over there, they come out there and they're like, hey, he's like, he starts sweating here. All he's doing is holding a basket. He's just sweating. I mean, he's sweating, he's scratching his head, and he's standing there. I think this was yesterday afternoon. And it is hot out there, but if you stay used to it, it's no big deal. But anyways, he comes down there and he said, it's hot. Papa said, get the basket. We're standing there and a car goes by with tinted windows with them rolled up. And I'd seen it. And he's looking at it and he watched it and he said, hey, Papa. And I said, yeah. He said, I bet they got the air conditioning on. That's exactly the words out of that 8-year-old boy's mouth. And I told him, I said, well, come on, hurry. I said, just hurry. I said, we'll pull down there and we'll be in the shade, you know, and all of that. And what am I teaching them? I'm teaching them to endure hardship. You're going to have to endure hardship if you're going to serve Jesus. Believe for the blessing. Believe for the blessing. God will increase it more, telling them. God will increase it more this year. They made a couple $100 a piece last year. That little preacher down made $600. Boy, they, ooh, yeah. They're going to take their money with them on vacation. I told them, I said, you're going to get robbed. That's what I told them. I said, listen, don't spend your money on vacation. Let Dad, he's taking you on vacation. Let Dad pay for all that. Just take your money where you can keep it. Boy, I'm giving some good news, Travis. The blessing, you just claim the blessing of the Lord, guys. Out of Dad. Hey, faith believe. You hear me? He didn't say us adults. He said whosoever puts their trust in him. The Lord is their shepherd. They shall not want. Right? But anyhow, you know, I told him, I said, Aiden, he told me, he said, I want to quit, but mommy won't let me. He's want to quit, doesn't he? It's terribly hard. I mean, that's a great trial for that 8-year-old kid. Really. And so I told him, I said, listen. I said, it'll be okay. You're going to be okay. I said, because you can't quit or you won't never have or go anywhere. You can't just quit when it gets hard. You know? And, well, they're over there and he's getting on Aubrey's nerves now because he just differed. He's piling up there and I don't know what all he's doing. I can hear him out there. And she comes and says, can you make him work with you? He's really getting on my nerves. And so I told him, I thought, well, I was going to let him stay out in the shade and I was going to go out there and pick that right in the sun. I get out there 2 or 3. That's the coolest part of the day, ain't it? I work a job. So anyways, I'm making a point to this, not to make a little story about them. I am teaching them the ways of the kingdom. The ways that even the world goes after that, but we go after God. And we let God increase us and build us. Now I'm talking about us, John. And so I told him out there, I said, sure. So I told him, I said, come on. And when he got out there, that was before all that happened, I said, see, you done it. You did it. What? I said, you could have been out there in the shade. I said, the whole time, I said, I was going to let you and her stay in the shade out there and put all that. I said, but you can't work with her. You can't listen to her. I said, me and your dad does it all the time. We work together. We don't argue. We don't bicker. I'm giving them a real life scenario of how it's going to happen out there where you're at. And so I told him, I said, this is your fault. You can be under that shade out there, but you can't work with her. I said, now next time, I said, you do that. I said, because Papa was delivering you from the shade. How many knows the Lord's our shepherd and we shall not want? He shelters us. He protects us. We have the angels of God surrounding us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And we follow Him and He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us into green pastures and rest. He restores us and strengthens us and gives us His ability when we're trusting in Him. Hallelujah. I told him, I said, so you're just going to have to endure it today. I said, but next time you get that chance, you're going to have to work with your sister. Then don't argue. Do what she says. That's the problem. Do what she says. And then she says, he's got to do what I says out here because this is my job. That's his job. Well, see, you come to me and you. We don't do that to the Lord. We don't get contrary to him. We don't. We yield to him and he leads us. I was going down the road the other day and I told Travis, I said, son, God has never demanded me not to do things. I said, he's given me opportunities not to. He's given me chances. He's told me that won't be good for you. He's told me when I wanted to go beat somebody up one time, I don't know about y'all, but when somebody does me real bad, you know, I want to get even. That's the way the world is. I want to show them, don't ever do that again. So I go to the Lord, and I knew he didn't like it, or I wouldn't have been going to him. So I go to the Lord, and I tell him, I said, Lord, I'm going to go show him, you know, so that maybe he won't never do anything like that to anybody. I was going to go beat him up. And I was serious. I went to the Lord. He says acknowledge him in everything, don't it? I'd done renewed my mind to that, and I thought, well, he already knows how I feel, what I'm thinking, so I'm going to ask him to let me backslide a few minutes. And then he told me, he said, I won't take you back. He said, no. He didn't say I couldn't. Right? That was not I'm making you serve me here. He will not make you serve him. He is a good, good God. He will not make me serve Him. He wants me to do it voluntarily. Voluntarily following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then they will tell you when you do that, might not be cows, but whatever it is to you, that this is all you can prosper. They told me that I, based on their experience, and I preach it to you here, we do not live our life based on our experiences. We don't believe based on it. We don't believe based on everybody else's experiences, their losses, their whatever, sorrows. I'm not down to nobody, but we live our life based on the Word of God. That's why Satan don't want you to be in a Bible preaching church. They think it's hard here, but it's not. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burdens are light, no matter what church you in. But the Word has got to be preached that challenges this natural man, that brings us out of the ways of the natural man to walk in the supernatural. The Bible says we are in the Spirit if Christ has came in us. Now, in order for me to go beat somebody up that I was going to do, I wouldn't even do it now. I've matured a little more. I've learned how to sow to them that do me wrong. I learned how to sow it into their life. Lord, let it do something. Let it do something instead of getting over there in the flesh. Out of the Spirit. See, John, I got to get out of the Spirit to go do that. And God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Live walking in the Spirit. And you're in the Spirit, Drew. If you give your heart to Jesus, you're in the Spirit. And don't try to get a relationship with Him. You're in a relationship with Him. Walk with Him. Plain and simple, easy. Just like Max sat down there. That's conviction. Convincing about the situation with that. Sitting there, don't feel comfortable with it. You don't feel comfortable in that atmosphere anymore. That's normal. That is normal. I get around people cussing, I don't feel normal. Me and Teresa probably come up with a lot of cuss words, man. We cuss every word come out of our mouth. We're eating cussing. And I can still cuss, but I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable cussing. So I'm not going. That means that's out of the Spirit to me. That's carnal. That don't mean I'm a bad guy. Don't mean, you know, but that means yield to that. I don't stand around telling dirty jokes anymore because I'm not conformed to this world. I don't have to do that to enjoy y'all. Right? I can cook and flip you some good anointed hamburgers and batter them up, and we can just serve Jesus and get in the pool and have hamburgers and all of that. Hallelujah. Have some praise and worship music going on. See, like that guy said about you, Mac, you're the last person that he ever thought would hear the name of Jesus come out of your mouth because he knew you. See, now you are a testimony of the resurrection power of Jesus to him. Because he probably sits around and ponders that like you do when you go home. Thanking God, Mac, if Jesus Christ can save him, he must be really real. If he can really change him, he must be really real. Then he may get into a place one time and say, God, if you're really real like Max said, then help me. And when he does that, boom, you'll get born again. Over one man give his heart to Jesus. Now he may have reached down into your own destruction, brought you there, but he delivered you. He delivered me. He delivered you, John. We're born of the Spirit of God, born from above. That's why we're in this world, but we're not of it. We operate in it, in Him, and in His power. And let me tell you something. I don't care if you are. Don't ever say out of your mouth, I am on a fixed income. You're fixing yourself. You're just getting in agreement with what it looks like. But I can show you scripture in Ephesians where it says God is able to do, Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly, abundantly, above, greater than you can think or ask. That is a big statement. But there it is. Now unto him, God, there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too challenging for God. He is God. And I mean, he set the moon, the stars. He created the earth. I mean, the trees. Everything you see here with your eyes came out of God. The whole earth glorifies God. Now, the people in it don't. Right? But we do. We can choose right in the middle of a dark world. See, there is coming a wealth transfer in this earth before Jesus comes back to stewards. To the ones that steward their money, steward their self. They steward. We stewarding this ministry. Sure, Satan would have liked to stop this ministry a lot of years ago. We're going into all the world preaching this Jesus where you can't go over there and preach him. I mean, people has logged in and I emailed and got in touch and taught them how to bleed for a church and the government let them have one. They were against Christians. Wanted us to send money. And the Lord told me, he said, he don't need you what you got. He needs what you, who you know. He needs you. He said, teach him. He's wanting me to send him a bicycle to ride 8 and 15 miles to preach. You know, they need a bicycle. Just a bicycle. And I said, no. I said, no. And we could have bought him a bunch of bicycles. I said, no. So I corresponded with him, and I taught him the word. I need money for Bibles. I said, no. I said, listen, you don't need our money over here. I said, he's God right there. I said, when you give a Bible away, get Luke 6:38 and use it for more Bibles. He don't know what it says. I said, it says, give, and it shall be given a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall he cause men to give to your bosom. I said, see, you're cursing yourself by trusting in us over here because you think we're wealthy over here. I said, no, we have God over here. I said, and God supplies all of our needs. I said, and I begin to teach him. We're not sending you money. We're not sending you money because I'm teaching him not to be a beggar. I'm not one. You're not one. I don't have to wait on nobody to get a blessing. See, what I'm telling you, I'm not just preaching you a little story here. I'm telling you, God, they told me I could not make money in cows, and God put it on my heart, and I got in cows. And but God, I mean, I wouldn't have a lot of money right now had I not done what God said. It wasn't about them cows. It was about obedience, and God knew that I was going to buy them cheap, raise one, sell a herd, and then keep some, and I had nothing in those. Those that I kept brought more than the ones that I brought. And I didn't have nothing in them. I didn't even have hay money in them because I had the whole barn full from the herd that I bought for the hay for that I sold. So I might have had $300 in feed and enjoying going over and checking them every day. What I'm telling you, I'm not telling you just a stupid story. I'm telling you I was acknowledging God that he gave me that land, and what do I need to do? Lord, plant fruit on it, plant trees on it, do something with it, because I've always felt like whatever God gives me, he wants me to work it, to till the ground. Plant a garden. Plant a flower garden, man. Sell flowers. No, I'm not trying to get y'all in business. Be led. You got to be led. Just like the land over there, I'm over there and I'm like, man, Spring Valley Beach is over here. This is your own understanding. This is my understanding. Spring Valley Beach is over here, man. They're coming from everywhere. Man, they putting RVs, RV lots, and it's no maintenance everywhere out in back of nowhere. Me and Travis sees them. He's been to them. Look them up on the internet, and they're back out in the middle of nowhere. And I thought, man, I could fill that pond in. Now, I mean, I can vision a lot of stuff. But God can do bigger than I can think up. And they're like, I'm like, man, I could put 20 lots in here. Man, you rent them out just $50 a night. 20 lots, man. Keep them rented out $50 a night for a year, man. You know, and all that. I'm over there mowing one of the lots, and I'm thinking about all that. And I thought, this could be the first one right here. And then I'm going down through it, and I said, but Lord, I said, I plan. I told him out loud. I said, but I don't do anything without you. I said, Lord, I said, I can dream a lot of stuff, but I want to know your will. Ain't that what Jesus said? I come not to do my own will. Because you know what? I can go do that without God and lose. Buddy, I've seen it in the Bible. He told them not to go. They went lost. And then he told them, go, buddy. And I mean victory every time. That's what happened when he sent Joshua out against Ai. Man, I mean, they occupying the city. And he told him, he said, I've give you the city. He said, I want you to take this city. He said, I want you to go up, send all your troops. He gave him direction. So he told Joshua what to do. And he told him, he said, send an army out behind them. Stay way out. He said, and put some on the side. He said, I want you to go out front. He said, and when they come out, he said, when they come out to fight you, he said, then they go in and take over the city. So that's what he done. But they didn't move. And he told him, he told him right there at the last minute, he said, stretch up your rod. When he stretched up that rod, that was a sign to the Israelites to go forward into battle. And when he stretched that up like that, here they come out. Then all, it says that every man left that city. God is a wise God. I mean, he knew exactly what, God knew exactly what was going to happen. God has your life already structured. That's why Satan don't want you seeking God's will. He don't want you laying there like me saying, God, is prosperity real? 28 years old. Is it really real? The TV, some of them saying it ain't. I see it all the time on my news feed. Tithing is not of God now. Nowhere in the Bible, blah, 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 blah. I mean, page after page. And then said, pastors just want your money, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I'm over there mowing, and I told God, you know what, God? I said, you know what? I preach tithing. I said, I've never been a burden to the church. I've gave to the church. This church and the church I worked with my own hands. This church right here, I told the Lord, and I'm not going to believe that false doctrine that will get your people not to be givers and sowers, that we will reach around the world and preach the gospel, build bigger buildings, and train the youth right there to take the baton up and preach like I'm preaching. Believing that they hear it, these young ones hear it, they might think it's a bunch of rules and regulations, but we understand that God has a plan for our youth. We understand that God already has a plan for them. A bright future, hallelujah. I was thinking about Job, but people that's lost stuff and all of that, they identify with Job. I'm just like Job. I've heard it once, I heard it a million times out of Christians that quit fighting and suffered loss and then blamed it on Job. God giveth and God taketh away, like Job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's not a doctrine. If I'd have believed that, I wouldn't have nothing right now. I would have shut this down when they wouldn't have rezoned it. I guess it's not the will of God. They wouldn't rezone this building so we can come in here and worship. And they all said no. And if I hadn't been a fighter then to fight for God's will, it was easier for me just to forget it. But I knew it was God's will. Whatever you know to be the will of God, then you put your heart into it and you renew your mind and you release your faith in God. That's how simple it is. It's not really complicated. So I turned it over to the Lord. I'd done learned 1 Peter 5:7. If you don't know what that is, I'm not quoting it to you again. Go get your Bible and meditate and renew your mind to that. And whenever things comes up to you, then after you renew your mind, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your thoughts, and then that will be a sign. Cast this on the Lord right now. And then you'll cast that thing over on the Lord. Peace will stay there, and joy will stay there, and confidence will stay there, and you'll just go about looking for it to work out. So I cast that thing over on the Lord, and I said, this is your problem. They're against you. I didn't say they're against me. See, you can't take things like that personal, because they're yielding to darkness. They're in their mind. They're conformed to the world. They got all their reasons why they didn't want to have this. But I knew the real reason, because God told me, he said, you see a church. You see a church building. He said, but I see generations. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here on a bucket, and I'm like, generations, man. I couldn't see past getting a few people in here. But look at it now. Generations have come into this church, you know. 2 and 3 generations of people, and God raising them up. See, Satan's told me before, you're not anointed, it's why people won't stay. And I tell him, you're a liar. The Bible says I am, and I believe it. God ain't told me I'm not anointed. He ain't told me nothing. Teresa's grandmother come in here, now she sat here lost for a lot of years. And I'm going to the Lord, and I'm saying, how can she sit under this preaching and not get born again? You know, so I went to her one day. I said, what's the problem? I said, man, why ain't you to give your heart to Jesus here? I just don't feel it. I said, you don't have to feel it. I said, I'm telling you. You just got to repent. You just got to. So then I come back later on. I said, but whatever. I said, I'm just kind of wondering here. You know, what's up here? You've been sitting here for years and you've not got born again. And that's not my style of thinking. And I know good and well the Lord sat there and dealt with her time, service after service after service. I would have the sermons. I would be like, this is going to be the day. Ooh, yeah. Heaven's going to rejoice. And it wouldn't, man. Week after week, month after month, year after year. And then something happened. She worships more than a lot of y'all. Got her hands up back there talking to the Lord. First time I seen that, I nearly fainted. I thought, what the? Man, it happened. She's worshiping Jesus now. She's back, and she does it every service now. She's got her hands up, started giving to the church. Hallelujah. And so I always tell Satan, you're a liar. I don't look at these people. So I come in one day. She said, what's wrong with this church? People won't stay. I said, there's nothing wrong with this church. I said, it's the people. I said, you don't come when you don't want to. I said, I was telling her the truth. She can relate to that, right? You don't come when you want to, or then do you see anything wrong? No, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I said, just like that, nothing. Nothing wrong with this church, it's y'all. Well, I didn't mean that in a bad way, but they're not going to convince me, Satan, through that there's something wrong here. Don't let Satan convince you there's something wrong in your life. Why God's not moving. He's going to tell you these things. He's a liar to get you off faith, out of faith, because it is coming. Your breakthrough is coming. I didn't know I was going to preach down these lines. It's good, though. I've learned, man, when you get up here and you don't really know what God's going to do, but you're confident he's going to do something. Those are some of the best times. I always leave glory to God. Is it over? Why? Because now he's in control. And I tell him, here I am, Lord. I yield myself to you, God. Hallelujah. Because Paul told him, he said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I come to you in power and demonstration by the Holy Spirit. And that's the way me and you are. That's the way you was whenever you was telling him, man, I don't do that anymore. I'll give my heart to Jesus. You started talking to him about the Lord. Now you're preaching the gospel to him. Amen. Without thinking I'm going to preach the gospel to him. Right. No, your life is preaching to him about the Savior Jesus Christ. That's right. Let your light shine. That's what that means. That's why we're all shining if when we're serving the Lord. Hallelujah. But he said, now unto him that is, I'm telling you, good is coming your way. I'm telling you, but God, I'm telling you what I know in my spirit. I know it in my mind now. I've lived it for quite a, I got a good marriage. Teresa might to differ with that a little bit, but I'm not letting her to testify. That's the way I see it. I'm going to look through the eyes of a full running over cup. Amen. I'm not going to, I mean, I would have people, you'll have people, you'll have a half a glass of water or something, and this is the way they think. You've only got a half a glass. But you're thinking, I've got a half a glass. At least I've got a half a glass. You know, rejoice over the half a glass. Instead of saying, I've only got a half a glass. That's the way some people see their trials. You've got to see them from a stance of thinking of victory. Somehow this is going to work out. You know, I was thinking about Shadrach, me, boy, they was three that really inspired me in when I was 28 years old, reading that story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or whatever you say that. I've never been able. But anyways, here they are, and I'm fresh out of the world into the kingdom. My mind is not really renewed at that time because I, you know, hadn't been long, you know. And I was getting into scriptures pretty good bit, reading them in my spare time and all of that. And things are going in me that unbeknown to me. Things are happening in me that I didn't realize was happening in me, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and it's him that works in you both to will, if you put the word in, both to will and want his will and to do his will, the desire to do his will. He does all that in us when we go and feed on him, feed on the things of the Lord. But I was reading that story, and they'd set up for them to worship a God other than Jehovah Jireh. And when they played the music, everybody had to bow down. That was a plot against them. And so the king goes and he tells them when you bow down, he said they get thrown in the fiery furnace. So they worship God, or they worship another God. And that's the way it still is today. You know, people don't look as money as being a god. Yep. Or the lake. Or football. Whatever. That whatever's got people's heart, their desire, that's what they're worshiping. That's what they're going after. You know, and everything. But anyhow, I'm down there and I'm like, I'm battling the world, man. I mean, I'm saved and that's about it, Richard. I mean, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, man. You know, in those thoughts in my mind and all that. Well, I'm reading there about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they told him, they said, our God that we serve is able to deliver us out of your hands. But even if he don't, deliver us from this fiery furnace. That's what he was talking about, because that's what they were faced with. We will not worship this God. But he will, he went on, he said, but he will deliver us out of your hands. That's pretty confident. That's pretty confident. And then they were thrown in that furnace. And what I got out of that in my own life at 28 years old, no matter what kind of trial I go through concerning serving Jesus Christ, they will be one in the middle of that trial with me. There was one in there like unto the Son of Man, Son of God. And you know what? The very thing that was meant to destroy Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's what I got out of it at 28, quickened in me by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. But I was reading it, Nita. I didn't understand it. I wasn't there. But that was quickened to me by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, man, I served the God they served. And he delivered them out of that. And then that king promoted them. They got promoted. And I thought, man, they serving God, they get promoted. They got promoted, and God said, yes, and I will do it for you. He said, and I'm sitting one day, and I'm telling you the same thing. He told me, and I speak it and preach it everywhere I go for nearly 30 years. But I was sitting there, and the Lord said, if you will follow me, he said, I will bring you to the place to where you want nothing. You want nothing. I'm 29, nearly 29 years old. And I thought in my mind, I thought, can that be possible? But I heard it in here. It wasn't a thought. It's just quickly. And you know what, but God, I followed him. I'm not perfect today. I still got flaws. I'm still working on some things. I'm still believing God to help me change in some areas. That's a heart after God. I'm not telling you I got a heart. I do. But that's a heart after God. I want change. I want to go on. You know, I want to go on imperfection. I want to hit that mark, praise the Lord. But you know what? God did it, Richard. But God, and I'm confident, no matter who you are, if you renew your mind to the Word of God and you passionately go after the Lord, pray, fast, do it regular. Fast, your mind's going to tell you, oh, okay, bye. Nah, you've got reserves. If it goes to eating it up, it'll be okay. Fast, regular. My flesh don't even tempt me not to fast anymore. It's done trained. If he gets ready to fast, he's going to fast. If I mess with him, if he messes with me, I'll just go 3 days. I'll say, you know what, flesh? I'll carry you past starvation. But I'm going to tell you something, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, if you'll pray and you'll fast and you'll renew your mind, I mean, you need to do this right here. Say, God, you're going to do abundantly above, greater than I can ask or think, God, according to your word. I believe your word, and you're able to do bigger than I can think, and you're going to do it. I'm going to trust you to do your word. Exceedingly abundantly above. And I'm telling you, he'll bring you to the place to where you have different problems than you did back then. You've got to figure out what to do with the blessing. You're not trying to get it now. You're walking in it and you're trying to figure out, what do you do with this blessing? Then the scripture will come to you. I give you talents. Put them to work. It'll make you money. Put it to work. That's what I do the gardening for. My dad was on disability. And you know what? You know when he died, what he did? He had on my work boots that I gave him. I tore his up or something. I don't know what I'd done. Then he had to give you some work boots. He died one day before his 67th birthday. And he had put the work boots on. He was going to clear off new ground. He had 1 acre and 6 tenths. And all of us nearly lived on it. So he was cleaning off the last little corner back up there to plant some squash and stuff, and then walk around your house saying, if you don't work, you don't eat. He believed in taking that ground and go out there in his little station wagon, sit on the side of the road and make $100 a month. He did draw a disability check. He's out there doing something. You know, he trying to get us to work. We do, you work, take a swimming. Well, you have to save. I told Travis the other day, I said, I refuse to live when there's so many blessings in the Bible that I can believe God to do in my life. I refuse to get on Social Security and have to save up for 2 months to take Aubrey and Aiden down to Five Below. Aiden asked me, he said, hey, Papa, are you going with us next Thursday? They signed them up for swimming lessons. They signed up for again, you know, and they're learning to dive. Belly busters and stuff, and you got to get Pi Toller, put your head down. Then he said, hey, Papa, he said, are you going to go with us next Thursday? Swim lessons, you know. And I said, Tuesday. I said, I don't know. I said, we'll see about it. I hope you get to go, because we get to go to Five Below when you go. Trina don't take a Five Below. I said, I don't know about all that. Well, that's the way the Lord is. He wants us to depend on him, to lean on him. Renew your mind to the Word of God. And then if it's renewed to the Word of God, go renew it again to the Word of God. Go renew it again. Go back in there and read them. You might can quote it. Go back in there and read it again. There's something in there you ain't seen. Something God will bring out of that you've knew for 30 years. Because times have changed, cultures change, the church a lot has changed. But God's word ain't changed, and there's things that is just locked in there for us individually as we move forward and grow and develop, and we get more light in the things that we already know, praise God. So I want to encourage you. You're not defeated. You ain't got no troubles. Well, I ain't got a job. You ain't got no troubles. Hear what I've been telling you. If you belong to Him, then He can get you a job. He can get you a house. He can get you a car. All of these things are not big to God. They're not big tasks to God. I mean, He'll lead you right into Herb Richard needing bill money, and that guy told him, whatever it was, he said, I'm believing God that He'll bring it in for you. This is the one He owed it to. Well, somebody called him up that he had met here a while back. The Lord told that person to bless him 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I told Richard, and it come through, and the bill money come through, whatever it was. And I told Richard, and I made a point of it. I said, that's why we need to be obedient to the Lord if He's telling us to do something. Because somebody's believing, and we need to be prompt. I told him, I said, if you'd have done it then, you wouldn't even had that trial. That guy obeyed the Lord then, you would not even have had that trial. Well, when God's asking us to get, I told one of the teenagers the other day, I said, bring an offering to the Lord. And they told me, they said, well, I tithe. I said, that's not an offering. Bring an offering to the Lord. Now I'm planting seeds in them babies, them young ladies, them young men, you know. You know, learn early to bring God an offering. That's honoring Him. That's coming to God and saying, God, I want my boyfriend. This little girl, and I'll close with this. Pastor's little girl, they living in parsonages and stuff, you know, pastoring church, and didn't really have nowhere to put animals and all that. And so she wanted a pony. Little daughter went, nope, you cannot have a pony. You can't have a pony. So she went to God, like He'd been preaching to her, have faith in God. So she went to God, asked God for a pony, you know, and out of the blue, nobody knew about it. Just out of the blue, not long down the road, somebody went to the pastor and said, look, God's dealing with me to give your kids a pony. He's like, oh, man, you can't have it. So he said, well, y'all can't have it. And she says, well, you tell us to believe God. Her believing God got a pony. That's why I say it to these young kids, you know. Their desires ain't what ours are. But their desires are desires. And if they give it to the Lord and the Lord meets their desires, you know, but then they will be more to want His desires. Because they will see that God is a good God. That He's listening to the youth. He's listening to these babies. He's listening to these younger ones. He's hearing. He's got a plan for them. And we can't just stand here either. Let's get them out of the way and don't teach them. No, we need to teach them and so they don't struggle with the things that we did in serving God and trusting God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You. And Lord, we just thank You tonight. We thank You, Father, for the power of the Word of God. But, Lord, we don't have faith in the Word. We have faith in You, confidence in You, Lord. And I thank You, Father God. I thank You, Lord, that You do work all things together for our good, Lord. Even if it's real challenging, Lord, we just have to trust You and put our confidence in You and lean not to our own understanding, God. But You are always faithful and always come through, Lord. Lord, let signs, wonders, and miracles follow this sermon tonight, Lord. And if you're here or listening by way of airways and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, let today be the day that it will be the best day of the rest of your life. Surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. All you've got to do is ask Him to come into your heart and mean it and tell him that you receive Him in Jesus' name and you'll be born again. And if you're backslid on the Lord, if you're in this place, I want to pray for you. Say, Pastor, I'm not right with the Lord. I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus. If that's you, slip your hand up and right back down. I'm going to pray for you. Or you're backslid. You're not right with the Lord and you want to make things right. Slip your hand up and right back down and I want to pray with you. Anybody? All right. All hearts clear then. Let's stand to our feet. Give the Lord some praise.